Tom Nichols is a professor of national security affairs at the U.S. Naval War College in Newport, Rhode Island, and he's got a new book out. It's called The Death of Expertise, The Campaign Against Established Knowledge and Why It Matters. Tom Nichols is worried. To get a better sense about what he's worrying about, listen to this excerpt. Quote, I fear we are moving beyond a natural skepticism regarding expert claims to the death of the ideal of expertise itself, a Google-fueled, Wikipedia-based, blog-sodden collapse of any division between professionals and laypeople, teachers and students, knowers and wanderers. In other words, between those with achievement in an area and those with none. Whoa. Well, I recently spoke with Nichols, and I asked him if it's really that bad.
There's always been some tension between the ordinary citizen and, you know, intellectuals or pointy heads or professionals or people with a lot of achievement in a particular area. What's different now is that people are not just skeptical about professionals. They believe themselves to be their peers, that they will actually lecture experts in a particular field. My own background in Russia and foreign affairs, you know, people literally, and this predates the internet. I mean, this goes back some time. I think it's not that new a phenomenon in American life. But what is new is people saying, you know a lot about Russia? Well, let me explain Russia to you. Hmm. Or a doctor. Well, you're a doctor? Let me explain what I know about surgery to you. And that's different. And the word I use throughout the book is narcissism. The thing that has really fueled this death of expertise problem is a growing narcissism in the American public among a people who believe that they are that they can't never get anything wrong, that they can never be told they're wrong, and have a very thin skin about ever being corrected or told that someone else might know more than they do.
Right. And so just to be clear, when we say death of expertise, what you're really talking about is the death in the trust or belief in the value of expertise.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but I'm curious about this question of why the narcissism, to use your phrase, seems to be at a peak, or maybe not a peak, but surging now. I mean, should we look to the internet and the echo chamber that the internet can form or easily becomes as fuel for that?
The internet and cable television in particular have become enablers or energizers for this kind of narcissism, because we are inclined, because of those technological achievements, to spend less and less time with each other. And the more time you spend alone and the more time you spend only listening to views you agree with, the more brittle and narcissistic you become. But I think it does predate this, and I think some of it is a disease of affluence. I think some of it is a disease of prosperity.
Meaning what? What do you mean by that?
Well, I think, for example, looking around at the standard of living the average American has, I always find it remarkable when people say, well, you know, the experts have done nothing for us. And, you know, this is the word younger students will sometimes say to me, Professor, you don't understand. This is the worst time ever. And
in their lives,
exactly. And, you know, I look back, I'm not an old man, but I've lived through some worse times than what we're living through now. And I think at that point, you look for somebody to blame. And I'm very concerned that this dovetails with our politics, that we're all about scapegoating and finding excuses for, you know, our own problems, and experts who are always far away and nobody you happen to know personally always make for a good people to blame, always make for a good scapegoat in that situation.
So in your book, you point out that one of the things about the internet and social media is that it allows people to confuse the ease with which they can collect facts with actual expertise.
Yeah, the metaphor that I use in the book is people who think they're smart after surfing the web for a long time are like people who feel like they're good swimmers because they got wet walking through a rainstorm. Simply letting facts wash over you with dozens and dozens of mouse clicks is not the same thing as learning anything. And it's actually quite disturbing to find that now educators and psychologists are looking into this and finding that, in fact, clicking through stories and blowing through web pages can actually make you stupider than when you started, that you will actually know less because the things you do know are more likely to be wrong. Because you have no way to discriminate between good information and bad information, especially at the speed of rapid clicking through pages.
So I do want to talk in a moment about your fears for democracy here. But let me push back for a second and say that if indeed there is this collective distrust of expertise right now in amongst the American people that maybe they have reason. They have reason to feel a profound sense of distrust. I mean, here's a small list. None of these are going to come as a surprise to you. The Iraq War. Let's reach back a little further. Gulf of Tonkin. Let's reach back a little further. What is it? 40 years of experiments on African-American men with the Tuskegee experiments being lied to by people in white coats. Okay, let's move forward in time. 2008, the financial crisis, predatory lending. So-called experts in the world of finance saying, we're going to make the economy go gangbusters when instead they just dropped a nuclear bomb into the middle of it. Of course people are going to distrust experts.
Well, there's a whole chapter in the book on when the experts are wrong. And I talk about not just bad calls, but also the problem, you know, one that you didn't bring up, with falsification, plagiarism, fraud. I mean, experts are human beings. You know, there are lousy airline pilots in the world who have crashed airplanes. But nonetheless, you still trust pilots to fly the plane rather than your Aunt Rose. Unless she's a pilot.
But what I'm getting at is that I feel like there has been a cascade of systemic failures that people are sensitive to.
But what the public calls failures, there's a problem here because a lot, in many of these cases, the public calls these failures because they don't want to remember their own part in it. With the 2003 Gulf War, for example, it's easy to forget that international relations, academic international relations experts took out a full page ad. Now, I was not one of them. But my colleagues out there took out a full-page ad in the New York Times saying this is a bad idea. It's only in retrospect that the populist answer is, well, we were all against it. And, well, the fact of the matter is we weren't all against it. And George Bush was reelected in 2004. People have brought up Vietnam.
But wait, hang on. One one-page ad in the New York Times does not balance out an onslaught of national security experts saying there are WMD in Iraq. I mean, these are people that people are supposed to trust.
I mean, first of all, I was
intelligence from the intelligence office.
I was one of the people involved in that public debate, and I made a bad call because I thought Saddam Hussein was acting like he had WMD. The question is, were these experts – first of all, the most important thing is there was not a consensus of expert opinion that people are now retroactively pointing to saying all you experts told us. There were fierce arguments among experts. There were blood-on-the-floor arguments about experts. And my point is we were all trying to do our best to get to the truth. And I think for every expert failure, you have to first understand that it's very rare that that failure was the product of a consensus, although the last election in polling is a good example where all the experts were like, oh, we're all pretty sure how this is going to go, and they were all surprised. Do those expert communities try to correct themselves? Are they more right than wrong? Because this is something I bring up in the book. I don't say that experts are always right or that you should trust them unquestioningly. I simply say they're more likely to be right than a layperson. And I think that's an important distinction.
Is another part of the problem here what feels like, and whether it's true or not, what feels like a decoupling of the world of expertise from the experience of everyday people? And here's what I mean. Like, for example, you know, every time we talk about numbers like GDP or the rate of growth of the economy or wages or whatever, we kind of talk about them in macro terms and we're like, hey, GDP went up 2% or whatever. But there are people who on the ground are saying, well, that's great, except in reality, I haven't seen any difference in my life whatsoever. So we're awash in a world of expertise that's almost out of context for individuals.
But there's a couple of problems there. One is, and for this I put the blame squarely on the shoulders of the ordinary citizen. If you really want to be connected to that kind of expertise and understand it better, people have to do a better job of keeping themselves informed. But it is amazing, and I talk about these incidents in the book, people who have very strong opinions about what we should do in Ukraine and have no idea where Ukraine is. The other problem is the, I think, increasingly unreasonable expectations of what experts can do or what expertise can accomplish. Because the kind of thing you're talking about is a confirmation bias problem, right? I mean, I was here in Boston years ago when we were actually undergoing a labor shortage. I remember fast food restaurants saying, we'll pay you to ride the bus. We'll pay you for the time you leave the house to come work for us because we'd had such a tight labor market in Boston. But that doesn't help the one guy who is always going to step forward and say, well, that's all great news, but I don't have a job.
Yeah.
And therefore, everybody's wrong. That's a classic problem of confirmation bias. People have a tendency, and it is as we were talking about earlier, it's that normal human tendency to say, whatever is happening to me is the world. And I think experts are – their our job is to dispassionately push back against that to say there is a bigger picture, there are bigger things to think about, not everything is about you.
Do you think really – or maybe in amongst all this darkness in this conversation, is there's a candle of hope that we have been through periods of time before where, again, back where we started, where there was rising anti-intellectual, but the Republic survived.
Yes. Well, let me take a let me say one positive thing, but then and say that, yes, the Republic, I have a great amount of faith in the enduring ability of our institutions, but I'm very concerned that sometimes it takes a crisis or something terrible before people understand the importance of expert knowledge. People don't want to talk to doctors until their fever hits 102, and then they rediscover the importance of medical expertise. So I'm hoping we can do something before that happens.
Tom Nichols is a professor of national security affairs at the U.S. Naval War College. His new book is titled The Death of Expertise, The Campaign Against Established Knowledge and Why It Matters. Would love to have you back sometime soon.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Now, there's more to this conversation at our website, including an explanation of the Dunning-Kruger effect. That's the one where the less you know, the more you think you know. That's at hereandnow.org.